We are so lucky to have in our studio this morning Cotton Howell, the former director of emergency management for York County. And York County was so lucky to have Cotton and his expertise and his knowledge and his patience for so long. And he then shared that knowledge and that expertise with the whole country on 9/11. Cotton, it's always good to see you, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So take us through 9/11 in your eyes today when the anniversary rolls around. This is the 18th year. What comes to mind? What do you do on a day like today?
Well, that day was much like this morning. Clear, not a cloud in the sky, beautiful day. York County had planned a 9/11 day. And emergency management and the communications center had a cake, and we'd invited all of the law enforcement, EMS, and firefighters to come by and have cake that day. Of course, I think the cake was thrown out ultimately, but you know, we had had planned a day of celebration, and of course it didn't turn out that way. And of course, before the end of the day, I'd found myself in New York for the first time, and so that was the very very different kind of day.
So you were called in up to New York, right, and my, from there, what did your day look like?
And to explain that, I am part of the federal government's Disaster Mortuary Operational Response Team. It's was then part of the Public Health Service. We went over to Homeland Security after it was formed, and now we're back with the Department of Health and Human Services. But we are the federal government's fatality management arm. Our team is the only team of its type in the world. And we're made up of the best and brightest forensic professionals in the world, and occasionally they let some people like me tag along that on their shirt tails that help with some of the organizational parts of it. But I was flown up that day on a defense contractor Learjet. They picked me up in Charlotte and flew me up there. My first trip in a Learjet, my first trip to New York, and you know, it was a humbling experience to go in. We had been told that there could be as many as 40,000 fatalities because they were just looking. No one knew who was injured when the buildings collapsed because they had did an estimate of how many people they thought could have been in the building that day, and that was their estimate. And, of course, the medical examiner's office in New York was overwhelmed. Even though it's the largest medical examiner's office in the world, it was still overwhelmed. And so we had to go in, and my job ended up being establishing and setting up the morgue there on site. We first two and then one morgue on site at Ground Zero, and setting up an organization for the human remains that were recovered to be cataloged, if you will, to be some way identified in some sort of system where we could track those remains through the system, originally where they were recovered, so we could try to say who may have been in that area to identify them, and then bring them in, get them in get them into the system so they could be processed and identified, and ultimately identified. And recently, another set of remains were identified within the last couple of months using a new system called Rapid DNA. So there's the identification of those 19,000 entries into the morgue over the next few weeks and months still goes on.
Wow.
Can't even imagine.
No. I know, Cotton, you're there to do a job. How do you do your job and get control of your emotions at the same time?
Well, you draw a line, okay. And it comes to training. You know, this is what we train for. We do lots of training and still do. Our team's still very active. Matter of fact, we have people who are assessing the situation in the Bahamas as we speak. But we train for it. We deal with it. The people on our team, as I said, are the best and brightest forensic people in the world. They come from all of the disciplines that deal with fatality management. They do it all day, every day. They're the brightest university professors. They're the best crime scene investigators. They're the best. And so they come into this environment, and we take all of that skill and all of that knowledge, and we focus it. And it's a matter of focus. It's a matter of process and procedures. You separate your, you know, you certainly are empathetic, but you have to separate that empathy from sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be empathetic, but you have a job to do, and you know that that if you can't do that job, then the mission is not accomplished, and then you aren't serving those people that you're there to serve.
I'm just amazed at not only are you working within all of your training has taught you, but, for example, what you had just shared about identifying a victim 18 years later, you don't know what kind of new technology is going to be invented. So you have to also be thinking about preserving everything to make sure that it's still available for any additional testing that might be invented.
That's exactly right. And that was done 18 years ago. DNA was still an emerging technology. It still is an emerging technology, as I said, with the new rapid DNA. Instead of a 6 to 8 week turnaround and $20,000 to evaluate a DNA sample, now it can be done in as less as 2 hours, and much cheaper. So the emerging DNA field, and their strides being made every day in that. And, of course, you know, you have to collect the antemortem data. Just having the human remains there to examine, you have to go back and find a family, and you have to take thousands of interviews and thousands of pieces of antemortem data in order to have a comparison. And then that comparison just works down just by collecting postmortem and antemortem data. It's a long process, and I'm proud to be part of an organization that does that.
How long were you in New York?
Our team, as far as I was there a couple of weeks and rotated back and then back in later, our team was there from, of course, September the 11th through March, where the medical examiner's office in New York was able to hire contractors and hire staff and come in. And they hired many of our response team people to continue to work with them.
If you're watching us on Comporium Channel 103 or the live stream on Facebook, you probably see our face because I am Cotton Howell is here, and we are listening to him share from his personal experience of what it was to identify the remains of all those who tragically were killed on 9/11. And when you mention just what every little piece was significant, whether it might have, you really didn't know the difference in that moment of a cushion or skin. I mean, you just had to really sort through everything in hopes of identifying those killed on this tragic day.
Well, early on, everything that was found, the firefighters, the people doing, working, digging by hand in lots of cases on the pile, as it became known as, it sounds kind of, that didn't sound good, but that was what we called it. It was the pile.
It was a
and we,
humongous.
As they would find something that they thought could be human remains, they would call, and one of us would go up and determine whether it possibly was. We didn't identify it there. We then took it into our morgue that we had established. We cleaned it in many cases, cleaned the remains, cleaned what it was, and prepared it to be transported. And we had a transport system to where it would be transported. Early on, people would start bringing flags, and we'd put flags over each remains of the police and firefighters we'd find. And then shortly after, we were able to get enough flags to where all the remains that were found. Mm-hmm. And then everything that went from, we had another total operation after a few days. Every bit of debris, everything that came off of that site at the, and there were 7 buildings at Ground Zero. People think there were only 2. There's actually 7 buildings that collapsed. And all of those 7 buildings, everything was transported to a landfill and of the worst name you could have. The name of it was Fresh Kills on Staten Island. Mm. But that was the name of it. And everything was taken from Ground Zero, put on a barge, trucked from Ground Zero to the dock there at the East River, barged over the Staten Island, taken, retrucked again to Fresh Kills, where it was screened by our anthropologist, and every piece of debris, every piece of concrete, steel, everything that came off that site was then screened for human remains. Of course, the black boxes were never located off the planes. Any evidence, anything, and it went through a meticulous process of months of screening every bit of debris that came off of the World Trade Center site.
Man, I mean, it is a what a process, and I've never understood how that process went, but an unbelievable way of processing it. Cotton Howell is a former York County Emergency Management Director. He's part of the Disaster Mortuary Response Team. He spent the months of September the 11th. He left York County, arrived in New York that night, and spent time there off and on from September to March. Cotton, when 9/11 rolls around, what do you do? Do you have any kind of special memories, or do you do anything special to remember today? What? How do you take in today's anniversary?
Just spend it with my family. Mm.
Well said. I mean, that's it. That's love them tight, hold them tight, and love them for sure. In the years that have passed, you brought the knowledge that you have back to York County, and we here in York County have benefited from the years of your experience and what you have been part of.
Well, I hope so. Like I say, we, you know, we're part of every experience we ever have. You know, someone made the statement that we're part of everyone we meet. We're part of everything we do, and so hopefully some of the things that that I've been able to experience, I have been able to bring back and apply here and pass on to the generation now that are protecting the citizens of York County. So, you know, it's like that one brick in the wall. You know, it takes there's millions of bricks holding up a wall. And I'm just honored that I've had the opportunity in my career to play one little part and be one little brick in the wall that of all the millions of bricks holding up the wall that I've been fortunate enough to be a part of that.
That's beautifully said. Mm-hmm. And I bet you met a lot of people throughout the United States that were specialists in what they do that were called up to this 9/11 tragic incident here in New York. Do you still keep in touch with some?
Absolutely. Many of them are still part of our team.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Made friendships, lived lifelong friendships, and made friendships in New York. I was working. I ran the night shift at the morgue. That was my job, was to run the night shift. And so, you know, during the day, I'd get off, and we were staying out in Astoria, and I'd get walk the neighborhoods, and I got to meet the people of New York, and they're nothing like the gruff people. You know, they're not the TV people that I'd been expecting. I expected everyone to be rude and nasty, and you know, just that, and certainly not welcoming of some Southerner. And as I'd get out and walk the neighborhood and go into little shops, I found people that are just people like us. They talk funny, but they were certainly certainly just great experience. And I missed them when they moved us from Astoria into Manhattan, where we worked after they found us hotel accommodations and housing there. They moved us over there, and I missed that neighborhood that we'd been in Astoria. And but I did find the New York people, especially at that time, to be very open and warm and welcoming and suffering. You know, they had been dealt a personal blow. The country had been dealt a personal blow, but they had lost some more than the rest of us.
We're all connected.
Very much so. Cotton Howell, again, former York County Management Director, reflecting on 9/11. Cotton, thank you so much for your expertise and for always just being willing to come in and share your stories with us. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.